God. Do you have a Bible? If you got in here without a Bible, I don't know, you're an illegal alien or something. Because I don't need a Bible, man. They got electronics. They put it up on the screen. Who needs to carry your Bible anymore? But I just want you to see Colossians chapter 1 and verse 13. You know that scripture? Colossians chapter 1 and verse 13. Listen, we're going to go through a lot of scripture this morning. If you can get it up on the screen, there they are. They're right with me. And I want you to read this with me because this is just such a powerful word. It's out of the Amplified Version. How many have Job 27 down? My lips and my tongue. You got that down? Some of you. Okay, there's about six of us that got it memorized. And we got to work on that. We're going to work on it the rest of this month, and then we'll do another one in February. Okay, there's a test coming at the end of the service. Well, let's read it together. Ready? Read. The Father has delivered and drawn us to Himself out of the control and the dominion of darkness and has transferred us into the kingdom of the Son of His love. We have been transferred. And you know, when you work in one department at on your job, and you're transferred out of that department, that means you no longer come to that department. That means that everything associated around that department, people that you associated with, the tasks that you performed, all those things are no longer on your responsibility list. As a matter of fact, you are now in a totally different department. And the Bible says that God, by His Holy Spirit, and you need to watch this now, because He has transferred us from one location into another location, which means everything around us has changed. Everything of our relationships have changed. All of our way of doing things, the mentality, the thing that you have learned, for example, on how to perform your task in one department, you're going to have to now relearn because it doesn't operate the same way as it did before. Now, to use that analogy, the Word of God says that we have been transferred from one department, which is the domain of darkness. Everybody say domain of darkness. Or this way, you could say it this way, the power of darkness. Say that. Power. Now, why would I have you say that? Because I want you to understand that the word power literally means this. It means the jurisdiction of one over your life who has organized your ruin. So the power of darkness is a jurisdiction of which they have been authorized to organize the ruin or the destruction of your life. So God said, I have transferred you from the department of ruin into the department of life. Or into the place where God is giving you opportunity for life. So now it's like, do I want to stay ruined or do I want to experience life? So we have to realize that we have been transferred. But something happens in this mentality as believers, especially as time goes on. There's something about the human nature that believes that once we're born again, that we can begin thinking, acting, and responding the way we used to when we were undercover. Or under the power of darkness. Let's do it this way. Egypt was the place of dwelling for over 400 years for Israel. God delivered them out of Egypt, but it was hard getting Egypt out of Israel. And so even though God said, I have a place for you that is a land flowing with milk and honey, He said there's going to be houses there that you won't have to build. There'll be vineyards there you won't have to plant. In other words, in this place that I'm going to transfer you to, all provision has already been met. All you've got to do is get there. Once you get there, you've got to stay there because your resource or your supply dwells in the transfer. Amen? Now, here's what's happening in this generation. A lot of people today are coming to God, coming to the kingdom of God, and they receive their inheritance or the abundance or the supply of God, and they say, thank you very much, Lord. And then they walk out of the transferred state and go back into the existing state prior to coming to God. Now, the only problem with that, it's a bit deceiving. I've seen a lot of people who come into the relationship with God. They're anointed. They have the Spirit of God upon them. They're serving God. God's blessing them. And they think that because they have the blessing of God and the anointing of the Holy Spirit, they can go and do just about anything they want and still be victorious. So they lose proximity to the resource. In other words, they walk back into the land of darkness. And there for a while, things are all right. For a while, your family's held together. For a while, your marriage is good. For a while, you're being blessed financially. For a while, you're walking in health. And suddenly, something begins to run dry. Just like the prodigal son who left the presence of the father with abundance, and he walked away. The further he walked, now watch me, the further he walked, his abundance dissipated. until he came to his senses and thought, whoa, I have just used up everything I received from my father. Now, in Luke chapter 15, you might want to turn there. In Luke chapter 15, the Bible talks about three things that are lost. The Bible talks about a coin, talks about sheep, and it talks about a son. And it tells us in Luke chapter 15 and 12, the younger of them said to his father, he said, Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me. So he divided them his livelihood. In other words, he said, I have provision for you, son, and you can have this provision. And notice what, at the end of the story, if you know the story, the older brother got a little upset because, you know, the father made a big party for the son that came back. And he said, son, you were with me all this time. You could have had anything you want. You're in my presence. It's all yours. But this is a son who was dead, who's now made alive. Now, let me just say this. Out of the presence of the father, we have no ability to reproduce. Now, notice the coin for a minute. The coin could have been worth $1 million. It didn't matter how the worth of that coin was evaluated. It didn't matter what it can buy. It didn't matter how people would value that coin. When it was out of the management of the owner, it lost its potential. It was somewhere in the house, but it couldn't be found. Look at somebody and say, it was lost. Now, what's lost about it is its potential to add to the benefit of not only the manager, but those in the proximity of the manager. Think about it with me for a moment. The sheep, the Bible says the shepherd will leave the 99 and go find the one. Why? Because the sheep outside of the sheepfold may have the potential to reproduce, but you cannot reproduce on your own. I think biology 101, one sheep needs another sheep. A male sheep needs a female, vice versa. Why? So they can reproduce. But the sheep was lost, and with its lost state, its potential was also lost. So you see today, the further away from the Father's presence that we get, our potential dissipates. It's like these children that were showing on the screen earlier today. They've got great potential. They've got great industry. They've got great minds. They've got a purpose. They've got a destiny. But they're lost. They are outside the presence of the Father. And until that coin is put back in the bag of the management of God, until that sheep is brought back into the sheepfold, until that son returns back to the Father's house, everything God had purposed, all that God had destined from the very beginning of the foundation of time. Listen to me, there is a generation that's wandering about today without purpose, without direction, not understanding that they are special in the sight of God, that they are a contributor and not a detractor, that they have something to give and not always to take. It's because they're lost. But notice the story. The Bible says that the coin was lost and the woman took a broom and began to sweep the house, knowing, I know that coin's in here somewhere. I've got to find it. Because once it's back in its right position, that once it's left the power of darkness and into the kingdom of this dear son, Jesus, it can find its potential again. And it's just like the heart of God. God is searching for people who have lost their potential, who don't know their purpose, who don't understand their destiny. I'm telling you, God has placed it inside your DNA for greatness. There's not one person in here today that cannot fulfill great things for God. And God, by the Holy Spirit, is sweeping the house of this hour, looking for people who have lost their way. But they're not only people who have not been born again. They are the born again group who, like the prodigal son, was in the presence of the Father. Man, I have pastored and preached for over 30 years, church. I have seen family after family. I have seen individual come to church broken, hurting, without purpose, addicted, you name it. And they come to God, and God gloriously delivers them. God puts their family back together. I will never forget this day when I saw this man who was hopeless in his life came to the church so broken. This was many years ago in building number one, our second sanctuary. And he knelt down on the left side of the pulpit. I remember him kneeling there. He knelt down and he began to weep bitterly over the fact that he had lost his wife, lost his marriage. His family was separated from him and he was hurting, and he cried out to God and he became born again. And suddenly God began to answer his prayer. And it was many Sundays his wife came to church. She didn't sit with him though. She was on one side, he was on the other side, but she was in the house. Everybody say, at least you're in the house. Come on, God's got something in the house for you. It may not be right where you're sitting, but it's close. Come on, tell somebody it's close. It's around the corner. God's got something coming around. He's coming around. He's coming around. It's coming around the corner. God has something set up for you. And then the next Sunday, one of the children came with the mother. It was an adult, teenage child. And then the next Sunday, pretty soon they sat together. Now they sat there kind of stoic. And then the next Sunday, they sat together again. And I'll never forget it. When I gave the altar call and that family walked the aisle down to the altar. And right where he had knelt, she knelt down. He was weeping. She was weeping. His arm was around her. Her arm was around him. And the children were around them. They were all crying. They were gloriously restored and gave God praise and glory. And the Father poured out his inheritance. You know how many stories I could tell you of those instances, whether it was drug addiction or broken homes, whether it was an abused life that God restored. You know how many stories I can tell you of that occurrence in the house of God? But you know how many stories I can tell you of people like that who, like the prodigal, after they got their inheritance, said, you know what, I can do this on my own. And it doesn't happen overnight. You begin drifting away from the Father. You don't read like you used to read, and you don't pray as often as you used to do, and you don't really go to church like, you know, you really don't need church because church is just church anyway. And I have my own church at home, and suddenly now our inheritance, you know, our family's doing well now. I mean, we're back together. Praise God. My son, he's off drugs. Oh, Lord, you healed my baby. Thank you, God. Lord, you healed her of all this sickness. God, you put her back. You gave us many years together, Lord. Thank you so much. See you later. And suddenly, the unending supply of inheritance begins to dwindle. Why? Because the people you associate with, the circumstances that surround your life, don't contribute to you anymore. God is a contributor. God adds to us. But the circumstances outside of his presence will take from you. And suddenly the prodigal son had those circumstances around him that began to extract from him, began to utilize his blessing for themselves without regard for him. And pretty soon he got to the point where he was in a swine pit, there sucking on a corn husk that had already been used up by some big overfed swine. And he looked at himself and he thought, whatever happened to the blessing of God that's in my life? Church, I want you to know something. You want to stay in close proximity to the Father. You want to stay in the presence of the Father. You don't want to get to the point of pride in thinking that you can do this on your own. You want to wake up in the morning with an utter dependency upon the presence and the breath and the voice of God. You want to walk through the day saying, oh God, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I know you are with me. Father, I know that without you, I can do nothing, but in Christ, all things are possible. I want to have an utter dependency upon the presence of the living God. Now, why is that important? Because Paul told them in Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 and 10. He began to admonish them. He began to tell them how important it was that they renewed their minds, that they would begin to understand. Listen to what it says in the Amplified Version. For this reason, we also, from the day we heard of it, have not ceased to pray and make special requests for you, asking. You kind of went too fast. Go back to verse 9. I went, maybe because it's time I had my glasses on. Asking that you may be filled with the full, deep, and clear knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and comprehensive insight into the ways. Everybody say ways. Say purposes of God. Hold that scripture there. Don't move it because this is important. You see, when you get transferred into the kingdom of His dear Son or the Son of His love, when you get transferred in this department, we don't operate in this department the way you used to operate in that department. In other words, when you come out of Egypt and you're now in the kingdom, we don't live in the kingdom the way we used to live in Egypt. We've got to get Egypt out of our thinking. Because if we don't get Egypt out of our thinking, the time we first time we run into trouble, we're going to want to go back. We want to come back to where we used to think and the way we used to operate. But God said, no, no, no. You know, the hardest challenge for the Holy Spirit, the most difficult task of the Holy Ghost is not getting somebody born again. I mean, people can get born again at a drop of a hat. I preached in Russia many years ago, and I gave an altar call, and 5,000 people came forward to receive Christ. That wasn't the hard part. The most difficult part is getting the thinking of Egypt out of the brains of God's born again. Because you see, it's natural to think stupid. We were all born sinners. So we think in the sinner department. We operate in the mode of operation of the kingdom of this world. Paul said, I want you to understand that I pray that you would be filled with the full, deep, and clear knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom. What is wisdom? It's skill in living. It's not just knowledge. See, if you have wisdom, it's not just because you know the Bible. It's you know how to transfer the Bible into your daily life. That's wisdom. And if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God who gives liberally and unbraideth not. That's how I learned it in the King James. But that's how we understand it's skill in living. You could be athletic and still be beat on a basketball court because you ain't got skill. You could jump higher than I can jump, run faster than I can run. But you don't have the skill of the basic principles of boxing out, jump shot, run and pick, defense, movement on your feet, listen to the coach. And I don't care how many times you grab the rim, you're going to go down in defeat. That's what wisdom will do for you. It will give you life skill. Everybody say life skill. Come on. Now, this is what Paul said. In comprehensive insight into the ways and purposes of God. There is a way that you must learn in this new department called the kingdom of His dear Son. We have been transferred. I don't live, operate, move, have my being in the old department anymore. See, that's what people want to do. Well, that's not the way we did it at old church. Listen, I don't care where you went to church. We don't bring that old stuff into the kingdom of God. We don't bring religiosity into the kingdom of God. We don't bring the way you think it ought to happen into the Word of God. We're going to go to the Bible. Is that all right? Is that all right if we use the Bible as our guide? Does anybody care about that anymore? That we want to see what God's Word has to say? In the ways and purpose of God, and in understanding and discernment of spiritual things. So the prodigal son was lost. The coin was lost. The sheep was lost. All having potential. All possessing purpose. All having destiny. But never coming to that end. And I'll say there's a generation today sitting in the pew who are as lost as they were before they met Christ. Oh, no, no, you're going to go to heaven. Praise God, I pray you do. But on the way, you'll never produce another sheep. Okay, don't see, I'm meddling now. You got to help me, Patrick, because you like to meddle too. you know that, what the percentages are of Christians who lead somebody else to Christ in their lifetime? You know how small that percentage is? I mean, it's once a person's born again 5 years, they basically go sterile. You know, just pull your feet back a little bit so I don't step on them toes, you know. You know what I'm talking about? A sheep that got lost. The contribution of value and the giftedness. You know what people will say to me? I hear this at this motivational thing. You ever hear of a motivational speaker? And they're talking about your potential and they're talking about what you can accomplish and you're sitting there about to bust and you think, man, you can do anything. I can do anything. And they say, don't die, let that book go to the grave. Don't die, let that musical recording go to the grave. But let it out, your potential, that coin, discover the value. Do you know how many gifts there are in this room this morning that are dead? Have not reached their potential. And it's not because people have chosen that as much as it is. We want to keep people in Egypt. Spiritual leaders want people in Egypt because I can control you. I can tell you what to make, how much to make it, when to make it. And guess what? Help me, Jesus. See, I've been preaching too long to care. I'm just going to tell you the truth. I don't care if people get mad at me. It doesn't matter to me. And I'm not talking about you, but I'm just saying, I'm going to tell you why they say that. Because they want you to make them the palace. They want you to build them the house. I don't want no house. I don't want no palace. I want you to take your potential. And I want you to be released in it. And I want you to spend it in the kingdom of God for the glory of Jesus Christ. Not for a church. Not for a denomination. Not for a man. Not for a bishop. Not for a movement. But for the Lord of lords and the King of kings. Somebody shout hallelujah. Come on. Hallelujah. Yes. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I've had enough of that. See, what we're looking for today is the knowledge of Christ. How do we get rescued from this lost state? First of all, you got to know Jesus. But here's how you got to get to know him. Luke chapter 15, I believe you have the verse, verses 17 to 19. Here's how you get to know him. Watch this. That old prodigal boy had lost all of his inheritance. The well ran dry. I told young pastors before, I said, listen to me. You start messing around, and nobody's looking, and nobody knows you're doing it, but you're messing around, and you're not reading, you're not praying, you're not fasting, you're not calling on God. You think you're all that. It'll slide for a while. Nobody will even know. Your church may even still keep growing, but the day of reckoning is coming. And this little prodigal boy woke up one day and found him in a swamp. When he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare? And I perish with hunger. He said, I've just got to get up from where I'm at here. I can't stay here. I'm going to rise and go to my father. And I'm going to say, Father, I've sinned against heaven and before you. That's acknowledging Christ. I think we've cheapened our altar calls. I think we've allowed people to come to Christ to say, well, I believe in Jesus. I believe in Jesus. Oh, well, now you're born again. No, you're not. No, you're not. No, I don't want to mislead you. No, if Jesus would come again, you wouldn't go. Now, I know some of the religious feathers are going. I understand that, but you listen to me for a minute. Hear me out. Hear me out. The demons believe and tremble. Is that what the Bible says? Look at somebody say it's in the book. So if it's in the book, then there must be something else besides belief. There must be a movement from where I was living. Everybody say transfer. to where God has designed and purposed me to live. Ah, I believe enough to get up out of that mess. I believe that if I go to my Father and leave where I've been living, that I can dwell in His presence and be restored. And the prodigal got up and walked out of his mess. And here's what we got in modern day church, Patrick. Listen, Lord, you know what we got in modern day church? Come to Jesus, believe in Him, stay in the pig pen.
Come on.
Come to church with that old stench on. Have you ever gone somewhere where people smoke? Now, if you smoke, that's cool. Just smoke. That's fine. But listen to me. Because if all I had to do is wrestle about whether you smoke or not, it would get you to heaven, I missed the boat. Do you think people that smoke are going to go to heaven? Yep. Do you think people that don't live 100% right are going to go to heaven? Yep. If I didn't, there wouldn't be hope for any of us in here. Do I believe if anybody doesn't keep every law and cross every T, dot every I? Yep. That's what grace is all about. But did you ever go somewhere where they're smoking in a restaurant and you come out and you smell? You smell like you've been smoking. You smell. I like what the young lady said last week. She testified at the end of the church. She said, God delivered me of smoking. She said, I used to use Febreze and all this stuff. So that was so cute. That was so cute. Let's go to the spirit realm. Here's a boy sitting in the pig pen. He's walking out of the pig pen. Now, he wasn't walking in his John Mark suit. He was not walking in the GQ status. He came out of a pig pen, rat, tat, clothes, pauper look, filthy, dirty, had the stench of where he'd been. You can clean up, polish, perfume, comb, doesn't matter. But when you come to God and you've been living in a pig pen, you can't cover it up. Oh, no, no, wait a minute. You cover it up for me. Boy, I'm holy. You the man. You quote scripture. Excuse me. Praise God. Let me kiss your ring. Because you got an anointing. But in the Holy Ghost, God said, fee, fi, fo, fum. I smell something. Smell something. Notice when he went back to the Father, what did he do? He came walking from, transferred from to, on his way. The Bible said the Father must have been looking every day. Where's my boy? My boy coming today? Come on. You know, I think you ought to tell somebody God's looking at you. God's looking at you. God's got his eye on you. God's got his eye on you. And when he saw him afar off, the Bible said, God was like the chariots of fire. Bum, 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 bum. And God came running to the prodigal. And the prodigal came running to the Father. What's the first thing the Father said? Whew, you need a change of clothes.
Yeah.
Romans chapter 13, verse 12. Put it up on the screen. He said, you need a change of clothes, boy. He looked back at the servants and he said, here's what you need to do. Go get him a robe. Find some sandals to put on his feet and, hey, get one of my signet rings. Watch this. The night is far spent, the day is at hand, therefore let us cast off the works of darkness. See, most people have interpreted that in Christian realms as sins. When we did this, you know, I would come to Jesus, but then you can't do this and you can't do that and you can't do this and you can't do that and you can't. And you know, I just want to live my life. Maybe when I'm older, I'll come to Christ. See, you have just been confused because that's not the kingdom of God. If that's all it was, it wouldn't be anybody in the kingdom of God. Because I just have to tell you, there's not one person in this room that's perfect. Amen. And if you are, please stand up and take over because I quit. I'm serious. Now, see, some of you had problems with me dropping the Bible. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I preached one time in my early days. And I was preaching. I put the Bible down. I said, I'm standing up on the Word of God. I stood on the Word of God. And a woman said, ah, blasphemy. I'll never forget the morning I was preaching. Man, I was preaching up the Holy Ghost. Man, I was having a great time. We used to have a communion table down in front of the church. You ever attend a church like that? Have a communion table, candles, a cross, scriptures opened up, nobody ever read, you know. I preached to that kind of church. I was the pastor. And I remember one time I was getting free in the Holy Ghost, and I slid up on the communion table and sat there and started preaching. That was not good. I had people coming at me after the service and say, Pastor, you cannot sit on the Lord's table. I said, we bought that at JCPenney. That's not the Lord's. Come on, that's not Jesus' table. I did, I swear, that's what they said. We think the works of darkness is sitting on a table dropping your Bible. Every once in a while cussing. Now don't give it away. If you smile, you give it away. Do you ever cuss? Look at you all laughing. The works of darkness are the mode of operation of Egypt. I testified earlier about my transparency. I'm going to be as transparent with you. I'm not going to try and fool you. I'm going to tell you my weaknesses. I'm going to tell you I struggle just like you do. The moment I had that call from that man from Grubbs and Ellis, I said, I can make this work. I'll get me a loan for $500,000, raise the money, somehow tell the church that, you know, it's the same thing as paying cash, and we'll just raise the money, pay it off in 3 years. My wife looked at me sideways and went, you're going to trust the kings of the West, or are you going to trust the word that God gave us, the kings of the East? I said, I'm not trusting the kings of the West. I'm just... You know, the duct tape thing? And I had to repent because I wasn't operating in the mode or the ways and the purposes of the kingdom. Do you understand what I'm talking about? Amen. That's being transferred. Mm-hmm. Not being churchy. You can train a chipmunk. Not a chipmunk. Chimpanzee. I know it was a chimp, but I... Monk, pansy, I don't know. But if you could train a chimp to go to church, can you imagine? We ought to do this on YouTube. We ought to get a video of chimpanzees in church. Have some music playing and train them to do this. Wouldn't that be a hoot? Some people like to wear power ties to exert their authority over you in the boardroom. Cufflinks. Engraved initials on the cuff. Slick back hair. Looked like they came out of GQ. Listen, you can't fool me. That Mercedes you drove up here this morning, that's Hertz Rent-A-Car. And that suit you're wearing, that's left over from the wedding you attended on Saturday. You see what I'm talking about? We can fake it out. But what God's looking for is not the external proof that you've been transferred. And I'm not trying to step on anybody's... Yeah, I am. I'm stepping on some toes. I'm a little bit weary of people putting so much emphasis that if you're blessed, you'll have stuff. You'll have the Italian cut suits. You'll have diamonds on each ring. You'll have two planes in the garage. You have a Rolls Royce for him and a Rolls Royce for her. Because I'm blessed and I'm a man of covenant. Yeah, but you may not be in the ways and purposes of God. Because you can dress up on Halloween. That doesn't make you a goblin. Everybody say ways and the purposes. Now you said it, but you didn't do the action. Ready? Ways, purposes. See, it's the ways and the purposes of the kingdom. And as soon as he came into the presence of God, he had to have an identity change. and he was identified by what he was wearing. Not on the inside, outside, but on the inside. A robe of righteousness. His feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace and the authority of God's name in his heart. That's what I'm looking for. That's what I'm looking for. I don't care if you come in here with earrings on, everything that you can hang them on. It doesn't bother me. I don't care if you have tattoos coming out of you and whatever. I don't care. Care if your hair is orange, pink, or green. You don't have no hair. That doesn't bother me either. You can come in here with all the impressed jewelry that you want to. But you know what I'm looking for? I'm looking on the inside. I'm looking for the robe of righteousness. I'm looking for the signal read of God's authority in your life. I'm looking for your feet being shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. I'm looking for some real transferred people in the kingdom of God. And it's those people that are going to make a change in this generation. Somebody shout hallelujah. As a matter of fact, we need a 30-second praise break. Come on, get up on your feet. Praise the Lord for just 30 seconds. Come on, somebody. Come on, somebody. Come on, somebody. Come on, somebody. Praise Him for about 30 seconds. Woo! Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, hallelujah. 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 I just got to bless you, Father. I just got to thank you. I just got to glorify your name. Hallelujah. Woo! You've been good to me, God. Hallelujah. You've been good to me, Jesus. I want to thank you and praise you and glorify your name. Woo! Give somebody a Holy Ghost high five and look at him and say, he's not done. You thought when the music was playing, you say, it's over. We go get to eat now. Sit back down. I'm almost done. Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 17, all things are becoming new. Old things are passing away. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. That's what he talked about. He talked about separation. That's how this transfer takes place. I'm separated. I'm separated from what I used to be. I don't bring what I used to be into my new life. You say, well, that's just how God made me. I'm angry and I'm bitter and I'm just mad at everybody. You got to be transferred, babe. You can't bring that old stinking thinking into the kingdom. God wants to change you from the inside out. God wants to give you a new heart. God wants to transform your life. That's the miracle of salvation. We were talking about it, Paul and I, on the way over today. And, you know, we all have past lives. I pastored in the city I grew up. That's dangerous. Because I didn't get saved until I was 23. I had 22 years of hell raising. And a few years afterwards. And every once in a while, somebody come by and say, oh, Louie, yeah, I remember. I went to school with him. Let me tell you about his life. I say, I'm sorry. We performed a funeral for him in 1974. He died April 21st. He's no longer alive. Let me introduce you to the new guy. He's got the same name, same face. But he's totally been transformed. Personality, spirit. What's important to him now is not never was important to him before. The things that used to allure him and attract him don't attract him anymore. Let me introduce you to him. It's my new life in Christ. I've been transferred. I don't work in that department anymore. And my goal is that you'd be transferred too. Because some of you are trapped in your past, trying to serve God in your present. And it's limited your future. It's limited your purpose. You're lost in the house. I'm not talking about people that aren't born again. I'm talking about you've been birthed. Come out of Egypt, still struggling because you're lost. And I'm sweeping today. I'm sweeping. All week long, I've been sweeping. I've been sweeping, man. I looked at your faces. I've been looking at this church all week long. I've been looking at everybody. I said, God, let's find them. I'm like a shepherd. Where are they? Where are they? Do you see that one that's been lost? Where are they at? Where are they at in the house? Where are they at? Why? Because they got to reproduce. That's their destiny. That's their purpose. The Father. Is he coming home today? Will it be today? Will it be today? Is that him? Oh, it's just dust caught in the swirl of the wind. Maybe tomorrow. But the Father's got his eyes on you. Because he knows until you're transferred, you're under the authority of the organization of ruin. Come to Jesus today. release you into your purpose and your destiny. Finally, I'm going to close with this. The father said, go kill the fatted calf. Get the band playing. Let's have a party. Because my son, who was dead, is now made alive. You remember that scripture in Luke 15? But you know what? He wasn't dead. He was walking. He was breathing. What God said, he was dead because all of his potential was never realized. It was like the coin that had value but couldn't be spent. It was the sheep that had potential but could never be realized. It was the son who could become the heir but couldn't be found. Dead. Dead. Rise, church, and shine. You carry an anointing of the Holy Spirit within you. Some of you are so powerful in the Spirit, if you ever got a glimpse of who you are, whoo, man, you jump back and say, jumping jack flash. I'm serious. I just try to be light and kind of humorous because it makes the medicine go down a little bit easier. It's funny laughing and getting beat up at the same time, isn't it? I like that better. Sometimes we all just need a good spiritual whooping. So this morning, you ever been through them birthday spanking machines? We get all the elders lined up on either side and you have to crawl through and they go, bram, bram. We're going to do that in the spirit. Sometimes what we really need is not prayer. We need a good kick. You know, we used to drive this old car. My buddies, it was a three-shift on the gear, on the column. You remember those? What do they call those? Three speeds. Yeah. Three on the side. There you go. Three on the side. You know what I'm talking about. But it wouldn't start. But here's how we started. Put in first gear. Everybody jump out. Push that car. Jump in. Pop the clutch. Boom. We are off, man. We're going to have a great night. Some of you need a jump start. I tell you what. I'll help push if you'll pop the clutch. Every head bowed, let me ask this question. You say, preacher, I came to the house of God this morning. I came from a place I'm not proud of. I came from a place nobody knows about but me and Jesus. But I come to a kingdom. Watch this now. I want you to hear this. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. You're thinking about your walk with God. But listen, you've come to a place that already provision exists. Oh, that's a great song. Shakaborinde peshamaralaba. Hallelujah, I love you, Lord. He said, you're coming to a land where there's vineyards and houses you won't even have to build or plant. You're coming to a place where their healing already lives. Deliverance already exists. Purpose can be found. Production can be realized. Come to Jesus. It doesn't matter how many times you've been fooled and tricked by church and religion, demonic spirits. Today is the day of your coming home. I'm talking to born again people. You're coming, you're coming, you're coming, you're coming. Go ahead and sing that, Daniel. Come on, worship the Lord with me. Stand up, come on, let's worship. Hallelujah, we worship you, Jesus.
But we get back up again.
Hey, we thank you, Lord. We can get back
we
up again.
We fall down.
Oh, Jesus.
But we got to get back up. We fall down. But we get back up again. For the saint is just.
The saint is just.
Sinner who fell down.
Come on, church. Come on, you can get back up.
We get back up again.
Oh. We're coming home to the
we
Father's
fall house.
We fall down.
Sometimes we've been knocked down, again. Haven't we? But we're getting up
we
again.
We fall down.
Let the church rise, Lord. Let it rise in power. Let it rise in splendor.
We fall down.
Let it rise in glory.
But we get back up again.
I can feel it. I can feel it.
For a saint is
for a saint is just
the sinner who fell down.
Everybody now, just come on, close your eyes. You're here this morning. You say, Pastor, I need to get up again and go with God. I need to move forward with God. Come on, altar ministers, would you join me around this altar?
Yeah, back up again.
Oh, God.
Yeah, back up again.
You may be here today already born again. Maybe you're not born again. It doesn't really matter. But God is here calling you. He's looking for your journey. Take your journey this morning. You need prayer. Come on, move out from where you're standing. Come on. You need prayer. You say, I just need somebody to agree with me. I'm coming home this morning. Come on, church. Come on, church.
Yeah, back
come on,
up man. Again.
Come on, young lady. I dare you. Come on. I call you right now to your purpose and your destiny. Come on, right now, right from where you are.
You say, get back up again.
Get back up again.
Get back up again.
Come on, sing.
Get back up again.
Get back up again.
Come on.
Get back up again.
Get back up again.
Get back up again.
Get back up again.
I'm going to get back up again.
Lord, bless the Lord. For a saint is just a sinner who fell down.
Give me 1 minute. Just give me 1 minute.
Get back up again.
I want you to look at somebody with sincerity in your heart and compassion in your words and say, baby, do you need prayer? I'll help you go back to the Father's house. I'm not going to let the devil take advantage of you any longer. I'll stand with you. Sometime you need encouragement. I'm telling you, Martin Luther King needed somebody to help him be encouraged. I need encouragement. You know, there's times in my life I think, Lord, I cannot do this anymore. It's just too much. You say, well, where's your faith? I don't know. But I feel that sometime. And all of a sudden, God sends me somebody. Michael, he sends me somebody. Yes, he said, I like that sermon last week. I said, you did? Really? Oh, man, thank you. I needed that. Look at somebody and say, if you need prayer, I'll go with you. Come on. You need prayer, I'll go with you. You need prayer, I'll go with you. And then you bring him down to this altar right now. Come on. I'm going to get back up again.
Get back up again.
Whoa.
Get back up again.
For a saint is just a sinner who fell down.
Will you get back up again?
Extend your hand of faith to these that have come. And would you pray for them right now as if it was your own self standing there? Because you've been there before, haven't you? Come on, pray for them. Father, in the name of Jesus, we pray for them today, God. We say, Lord, strengthen them from their inner core. God, let them know that they can have a change of apparel, a new identity by what they're wearing. Not the things of this world, but the things of the Spirit, the kingdom of God. Use them, Father, for your sake and your glory. Make up the time that the locust has eaten, oh God. Give them, Father, a second chance because you're a God that is good all the time. And I pray today, Father, that they'll never be the same from this moment on, God, because they're interfaced with the Holy Spirit. Today, oh God, eternity has been birthed in their heart. They're a coin that's been found. They're, oh God, a sheep that's been brought back to the fold. They're a son that has come back to the family. Bless them today, Lord God, and use them for your glory. We ask it in Jesus' name.
Get back up again. Get back up again.
Now I want you to look at somebody and say, welcome to the family of God. Welcome to the family, man. Welcome to the family. I mean that with all my heart. Welcome to the family. This is a family, you know. This is a family. Welcome back. Welcome back. Hey, listen to this. The fatted calf, it's almost done. The band just showed up. We're going to have a celebration. Hey, we're going to have a party. Glory. Because God has brought restoration. Give him a big hand clap. Woo! Woo-hoo-hoo. Thank you, Lord.
Woo.
Now, before we go, let me say this. February 7th, we have a tremendous opportunity for everybody in this room to be a part of our professional leaders luncheon at 12 noon right here at the Embassy Suites. Dr. Bob DeMaria, a great friend of mine, tremendous professional that's changing lives all over the country, is going to be our guest speaker. You want to hear him. He talks about optimum health on the physical side and how it affects the spiritual side. He'll talk about how you can reach your God-given potential. A lot about what we've been preaching here. I don't have time to show you the video that we had prepared, but I want you to come February 7th. Then finally, I brought you a gift today. Isn't it good to come bearing gifts? You can say thank you. Okay, here's what I brought. I preached a sermon Thursday night. Do we have those? I better ask first. Yeah, we have them. I preached a sermon called, I forget what it's called, but it's about praise and thanksgiving. And, huh? Oh, no, it's not perseverance. I don't know, but it was good. But anyway, it's how to ambush your enemy. And so I made a copy for everybody because you weren't there Thursday, right? In Lorraine. So I brought a copy for you. It's free. Where do they get it at? Oh, on the way out, they can get a copy of it? Let me see that. Is it? How, let me see what they put a name on. It's called Motivate. I didn't do that. They did that. They misspelled my name, though. You know how God keeps you humble? When the people that work for you spell your name wrong. I mean, K-E-T-N. They got the doctor right, but they spelled the last name wrong. But anyway, you get one free. God bless you today. Live right, love everybody. Pray hard. Let's go to the new department of the kingdom of God. Amen. I love you. In Jesus' name. Get back up again.
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 Get back up again.